Baltimore, Marilyn Dennis, and Jamar. Wake up! I love this show.
Chum 104.5.
What's trending in Toronto
with Caitlin Green?
Let me know, let me know.
Lots of trending news from Hollywood this morning. First up, Ariana Grande, her Sweetener tour began last night. It is trending today. It began with a tribute of sorts to her ex-boyfriend, rapper Mac Miller, because before the show gets started, it's in Albany, New York, she plays a bunch of Mac Miller songs. And if you're sitting in your seats at a concert, that's very common. But when they started happening in a row, people began to think that this was a little tribute. She apparently handpicked the pre-show playlist, and the last song before she took the stage was from Mac Miller. So no surprise, not on the set list, was her song titled Pete Davidson. Yep. Didn't quite make the cut for the show.
Oh, wow.
Yep. The final three songs of the show for everybody who will be attending here in Toronto: Dangerous Woman, Break Free, and No Tears Left to Cry.
When is she here again?
So she's here April 3rd and then again on June 26th. So okay, she's got two Toronto dates. And don't forget, she has these two special Coachella performances happening mid-April. And in the U.S., at every venue, Ariana Grande is providing concertgoers access to register to vote.
Good.
Isn't that interesting?
That's a great time.
Another thing to point out, as a Ariana Grande concert ticket holder myself, you have to have a clear bag when you go to her shows. And this is, of course, a new safety precaution that's being taken for a lot of big events, but especially for her, it's following that Manchester bombing that happened at her concert.
Just so like the NFL.
Exactly like
clear
the NFL.
Yep.
Either you're going with what can fit in your pockets or you've got to bring a clear bag.
Yeah.
Now, everyone who is freaking out over Kate Middleton not attending Meghan Markle's New York baby shower can relax. She's having a second one that Kate Middleton will actually host. So they're trying to do the, like, nothing to see here. Someone took a photograph of the two of them talking and joking around during one of Meghan's last public appearances. And they were like, look, they're fine. So Meghan's mother is flying out to London for the shower. She will reportedly stay with Meghan through the delivery. I think I read that Meghan's due date is reportedly around May 1st.
So, okay. It may be.
A maybe.
A maybe.
A maybe.
You know, it's Kate Middleton. Her mom is an event planner. So this is going to outshine Amal Clooney's situation.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
It's going to be an event.
It's going to be an event.
And to the T.
Sure. Absolutely.
Hello, magazine.
And Saturday Night Live, everyone's saying, like, should SNL create a dating app? Because the stars of the show and the people who work on the show backstage have a knack for scoring with celebrities. So the latest coupling is...
Okay, can I guess?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, who's the star?
Mark Ronson. Musician Mark Ronson.
Oh.
Gosh,
Kate, is it with, I don't know.
You won't get this one. I'm going to tell you. You're not going to get it. So Mark Ronson, when he was on the show with Miley Cyrus, he hooked up with one of their talent executives. Her name is Rebecca Schwartz.
Oh,
so
no,
she's a behind-the-scenes player. So, but Lindsay Shookus, one of the producers, she's dating Ben Affleck again, Colin Jost, dating Scarlett Johansson, and very briefly, Pete Davidson, dating Ariana Grande.
Funny is attractive.
So everyone, yeah, and like these aren't, we're not going far back. I'm not talking about somebody who dated in like the early 2000s.
No, this is like within the last couple of episodes.
Exactly.
Right.
So I don't know. I think they should create a dating app. Just saying. Throwing it out there.
Remember, funny's attractive. Keep that in mind when listening to this show.
Marilyn, does this ever happen on your show? Do people ever hook up after they come on your show?
Yes. Meredith Shaw and Rodney Bowers.
Oh wow.
Yes.
Look at that.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right.
I like this little love connection.
It's a nice connection.
Funny is attractive, yes, but you can get a facelift, but you can't get a funny lift, can you?
It's
true. You're not funny.
No. As Judge Judy likes to say, beauty fades, but dumb is forever.
Oh, no. Okay.
And again, listen to this show.
Thank you. National Let's Laugh Day. Did you know that people in relationships think that they're the funny one? There's always a funny one and a non-funny one in a relationship. But the amount of people that think they're the funny one in the relationship will shock you.
Yeah, because they're not that funny?
They're not... 68% of people think that they're the funny one in the relationship. That can't be right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've made it clear, and I don't know about you guys, I've made it clear to my husband. He'll joke around and go, honey, that's funny, but I remember I'm the funny one.
So who's the funny one?
Me too.
I'm funny. Because I make him laugh so hard. Yeah. If you think about, now, I'm not saying medical people are not funny or fun, because they got, but it's life and death. And my life depends on a good joke.
Right. Oh, yeah, okay.
And I think I just, because the work that we do,
yeah,
we're just a little faster on seeing the comedy and the humor and things. Yeah. And I also said, and we're Canadian, and we're mm-hmm. and we just happen to be funnier.
Jim's a great audience, though.
He is a great audience.
He loves to laugh.
Yeah, he does.
Who's the funny one in your relationship?
Yeah.
That's a tough one for me, because I find Kyle very funny. So it's hard to say.
He's quietly funny.
He is. Kyle is quietly most things. He doesn't like, he's not the biggest personality in the room at first, but he's very funny. And honestly, the moment that I first looked at him as maybe more than a friend, because we had hung out together, he made a really good joke. And I had a huge laugh at it. And I thought, oh, okay.
Funny's attractive.
Look at that again.
Yeah.
The attractiveness in humor.
That's very, and I always thought, actually, to be fair, I always thought that was specific to me. Yeah. I always thought that I had more of a soft spot for a big laugh. But I think it's universal.
Tom, are you the funniest person? Let's call Renee right now and see what
Well, we've had this discussion before, and she makes me laugh like crazy, but I still consider myself by far the funniest one in the relationship.
You mean in mass appeal, you're the funnier one?
Mass appeal?
Yeah, mass appeal. Like,
sure.
Standing up, doing a stand-up on a stage.
Yeah, sure. I guess so. But just, I think I make her laugh more than she makes me laugh, but she would argue that.
Jamar, what about you?
We're both funny. But she is funny and doesn't realize it. She'll say something and I'll be like, ah! She'll be like, what? I'll be like, that was hilarious. And she doesn't realize it. And then she thinks, are you laughing at me? I'm like, no, I'm laughing at what you just said. That was hilarious. Me, I don't think I'm funny. I think I say stupid things that end up being funny. I'm like, oh, yeah, that worked. That's my spiel.
Yeah, I don't think you're that funny.
I'm glad you said that. I tend to agree with you.
She thinks differently.
Listen.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Hey, keep her in my pocket. I need that. Fantastic.
No, but you have other talents. No, you're funny, but you get... Here's the other thing. You have to be, to Caitlin's point, a good audience, too.
Yeah, you have to be.
And you have to look at the comedy of things, because sometimes you and I, off mic, are killing ourselves laughing over it, like the weirdness of the world.
The world is a very strange place. And if you don't laugh, you might do the other thing.
Yeah, that's right.
So, fantastic. So, then.
68%, huh?
Yeah, 68%. That's I don't know how that works out, but that's how it works out. All right, let's dive into Truth Tuesday this morning. It's 104536 if you want to text us. We'll never air you out. Of course, you're not even going to tell us your name. But no. I'll tell you, workplace hookups, they sound exciting. They really do. And at some points, they're awesome. I don't necessarily recommend them, though. That's just me.
But that's okay, because this one woman texted us and said, my husband and I hooked up at work. We've been together for 17 years, so sometimes it works.
Okay, maybe it does work sometimes. Yeah. The one I was involved in, this hot sales girl in when I was working in Miami.
Was this
right there just tells you, I had no
girl
choice.
Miami.
I know, and it was just like, these days you can't do that. But, we decided to kind of go through it, and I'd see her in the hall all the time. We'd just give each other that look, and she'd go, and I'd be like, oh. I'd be like, all right, this is happening. I can't stop it. She's giving me the eyes. But then it got weird because I decided to get in a serious relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
And I had to look at her and be like, hey, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
And it just did not go well because
she likes flirting.
Yeah, we're flirting. No, but we're actually hooking up. But then, she worked sales and I noticed that my gig started decreasing. So I'm like, wait a second. You can't stop working on my behalf in the company just because you're mad at me. And that's the risk when you work with somebody and you're in a personal relationship
and
with them.
And different roles that they have within the business. Yeah.
It affects the job.
Yeah.
And then, of course, once I left the company and moved on to go somewhere else, I found out that everyone knew we were hooking up. And it was so embarrassing.
You thought it was really on the down low, but it really wasn't.
People always think they're being covert. Everybody knows, right? We're all talking about you.
Yeah, there's couple of people in this building that met at work at the old Chum building. They're still married and happily so.
Yeah, we were actually talking about this topic when that person walked by and he said, oh yeah, that happened to me.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's great.
And it happened to somebody else and it didn't work well. Because the guy moved on.
Right.
And then the woman had to move on too because it just didn't, it wasn't working well within the system. One text says, yes, I did more than once. Good for you. I don't know. After all, you do spend a lot of time at work. That's so true. They ended fine, happily married now for years to someone I met outside of work. But, when I think about that underground world that we have here in Toronto, all the bank buildings and, underground paths, and you run into people and you see people. It's a different world. It's a world that you live in. It's your bubble.
It is your bubble. And you just spend so much time with these people at work that after a while, they just start looking hotter and hotter and hotter. And you're like, all right, like, let's just do this.
Some industries are far more hookup oriented than others, I find.
Like what industry?
Like the service industry. If you're pulling long hours and you're working late, you're at the same bar, then everyone has drinks together afterwards, and things can happen.
Caitlin, anyone who works wait staff or bartending right now knows exactly what you're talking about, and they're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
My whole rap sheet is literally in the back of house.
And there's also like a hierarchy sometimes in certain restaurants where like if someone who's working, you know, front of house hooks up with somebody back of house, it's like, what?
Exactly.
I said to my husband, you know, Grey's Anatomy. Yeah. Does that really happen in hospitals? He goes,
they're the worst.
Oh. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, let me tell you the other dynamic in hospitals, because a lot of times they have to sleep there.
Yes.
So they got those little cots and those little cubby rooms.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the nurse and the doctor sharing a room.
So that happens. I have another text that says, I met my wife at work and we've been married for 35 years.
Now, it can also be people's professional undoing, because
that's what I was talking about before. Yeah.
There was a hookup that happened at a place I used to work at, and it happened in an editing suite, and the editing suites have a lot of expensive equipment, and so there are cameras in there.
And they weren't thinking.
Yes, and so somebody went in there after a Christmas party with somebody else who was an intern, and they had fun in the edit suite, and then that person got fired.
Okay, and that didn't get edited. We have somebody on the line. Hi, chum. What's your name?
No.
Wait, what's your name?
Unless
you can say your name is Jennifer and it not be Jennifer.
It's Cindy.
Okay, Cindy.
I have to tell you, this just reminds me of another story. Cindy, what's your story?
My story was, I was a receptionist at a software company, and this really cute guy came in, and, well, we were friends for 3 years, and then we hooked up and got married, and 26 years later.
Wow! Nicely done. Jennifer, Cindy.
Jennifer, Cindy.
Hey, Cindy, how long did you have to keep your relationship with this person on the DL until you guys really went superficial?
Yeah.
I think it was about a year.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know everyone knew, though.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I do want to say something, you know, about the name change and anonymity. I used to do a show called City Line, and we used to have people call up with their problems every Tuesday to talk to Dr. Saul Levine. One day, everybody's name was Jennifer. name change. So I'm just sorry, I shouldn't ask what your name is,
That's
but if
fine.
I do, change it.
All right, Cindy, Jennifer, thank you so much.
Yeah, have a good day.
We're talking about the workplace hookup thing. I will say, if you're going to hook up with somebody at work, it has to be the person that you're potentially will end up in a legitimate relationship with. If you're just going to do the fling thing, everyone's going to find out, and you're going to regret it when someone decides to end the whole fling.
You know, when we think about if you get the opportunity to go to college or university, that is a whole bunch of people in your demo.
Yes.
That you can just date and have fun and go, and doesn't matter.
It's the best place to meet somebody.
You can breadcrumb, you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Work is a different thing. This is your career.
Yeah.
So point well made, Jamar. So even though you go, these are like-minded people, got to be very careful.
I feel like the question for Truth Tuesday should have been, haven't you hooked up with a coworker? Have you ever managed to avoid hooking up with a coworker based on the sheer number of texts that we're getting?
Like, what are you getting?
Just like, I can't believe some of these. So most of them are nice. I met my husband at work in 1987. We were both with other people at the time, but here we are 32 years later, still married, loving life. We met at Sobeys head office. Shout out to Sobeys. And now both work at head office of Shoppers Drug Mart. Married for 14 years. Look at that.
That's probably why there's food at Shoppers Drug Mart now, because the Sobeys people.
They suggested that.
Yeah. Well, my ex-husband, after we split, he met his future wife through work. So, I mean, you know, that happens. And I think it's like-mindedness, and I think it's just, you know, that happens. But you're right, the commitment has to be there.
And the thing is, you start spending all this time with somebody, they're attractive, then you get to meet know them, and they become more attractive as you figure out who they are, and they decide to kind of breach that thing. You have the little physical activity, but then when it's time to finish it, it affects the job.
It does.
And what do you do? Do I run upstairs to the boss and be like, hey, she's not selling my show anymore because I won't hook up with her? It's like, what? You can't say that.
And everybody in the office knows about it. They know about the drama. They know about the hurt feelings. And so everybody chooses sides.
Exactly.
That's it does become good. Drama. I mean, when it works, as I just described, it works really well. But you got to be so careful. The commitment has to be.
Oh, trust me. It was hot and fun.
What if you get stuck in the middle, though?
Stuck in the middle. I don't know, man. Just safer to not go there. Shirley, is it just me or just do you think the workplace hookup's not the best idea?
Well, when you're the person who gets dumped on while the others are having the affair, it sucks.
What happened?
Whoa.
What happened, Shirley?
I worked at a company where the secretary or the receptionist, who could barely answer a phone, eventually was sleeping with the president of the company, who was a married man.
Wow.
She now becomes his secretary, and she hasn't got a clue what to do. Mm. So anytime she was asked to do things, it got dumped on me. And it was completely out of my job responsibilities, so I started saying, I'm not doing it. And I went to my boss, and eventually I got fired.
Wow.
Oh, ouch.
And he kept
That's okay, because I was going on a job interview the day after. Anyways, I was ready to quit because I couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
But it was just, his blinds would be closed. She'd be in there all day long. The only time she'd come out is when he knew his wife was coming to visit.
Oh, that must have been awful. How long did you work there until you left?
I don't think I stayed with the company a year.
Oh, gosh. And do you know what happened to those two?
I have no idea.
All right.
I know when I left, he was smirking, and I looked and I went, that's okay. I got another job lined up. He didn't hurt me.
Okay. What goes around comes around. Way to go, Shirley.
Absolutely. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you. You too.
We have a similar text that we received saying, 25 years ago, I was the witness to a hookup between a receptionist and an executive at our firm. The girl at reception had been warned about this particular executive and his reputation. They carry on for about a year later, and then she is let go for other causes, apparently. Finds out she contracted an STD from him.
What?
And ends up suing him and the company. Not a good ending. Office, workplace hookups are usually a bad idea.
No.
You know, it's all love and sunshine until you hear those stories. You're like, oh, wait a minute, there's a lawsuit now.
Wow. Yeah, I mean,
that's a wow, right?
Because
I had so many thoughts in my head when I heard that.
But you know what? I do recall working at a particular ad agency, and when I had just started, you know, the head of the entire company makes a lot of time to stop by my office. And right across the hall was a creative director, and he popped his head in and said, yeah, you're going to want to watch out for that guy because he doesn't spend time in anyone else's office. I was like, oh, okay. Now I get it.
See, that's usually the case. Everyone usually knows the deal.
Talk Entertainment Update brought to you by the IKEA Kitchen Event. Get up to 20% back in IKEA gift cards on kitchen purchases over $1,000 and up until April 8th. Lainey, what's up?
What's up?
Welcome.
Ariana Grande fans are up.
Yeah.
So excited. So the Sweetener Tour kicked off last night in Albany, New York. You know, this is the biggest pop star right now of the last year, right? Hit after hit. Now it's a concert. And a lot of her fans were really excited and moved because, you know, before an artist hits the stage, they have like a playlist that they play to get their fans set up and jacked up.
So this is just the song that's playing in the PA.
That's right. That's right. And her fans noticed that she was playing Mac Miller's music.
Wow.
Which is a very sweet nod to, you know, their relationship, how much she misses him. And the first song in the set list is Raindrops. And it's widely believed that Raindrops is the song that, you know, is dedicated to Mac Miller. And so, you know, it was a very successful start to the show. She tweeted her thanks to her fans afterwards. Listen, if you had asked me 3 years ago, if I would go to an Ariana Grande show, I would be like, no, not interested. And now, like, I can't beg hard enough to get tickets.
So she's here April 3rd and again in June.
Yeah, June 26th. Yeah. And I'm with you, Lainey. This has been the surprise of my adult life.
Yes!
That I'm like this bizarre Ariana Grande stan out of nowhere.
I love the album. I love not just the song Thank You Next, but the whole album.
Yeah.
I love her. I love the tenacity she's shown us in the last 2 years through all this adversity. I didn't expect this, but it's a great surprise.
It gives me a bit of Rihanna vibes when she kind of came out with her like different from what we had been used to in terms of the very well put together constructed pop star, and then she changed it up.
Anyway, from Ariana to her ex-fiance, Pete Davidson, mm-hmm. who we know has a girlfriend now, a new girlfriend, Kate Beckinsale.
Mm-hmm.
They hooked up last night. They both went to the premiere of a film called The Dirt, which I feel like we'll all be into. Okay, The Dirt is a biopic about Motley Crue.
Yes, I've heard nothing but great things about this movie.
Which, I mean, I wasn't into Motley Crue's music, but I'm definitely into an 80s hair band and the scandal and dirtiness, hence the name of the movie, The Dirt.
Yeah.
Anyway, Machine Gun Kelly is in the movie. He plays one of the crew members, and he's really good friends with Pete Davidson, so Pete showed up to the premiere, and then so did Kate Beckinsale, and then they left afterwards together, and they were kissing in their SUV on the way to the after party, so that is still happening, FYI, for those of you who needed a Pete Davidson romance update.
They went to a movie and made out. That's a good date.
Also at the premiere, Paris Jackson.
Yeah.
So we know that there was an incident that, you know, certain people are reporting that it was a crisis, mm-hmm. a mental health crisis on the weekend. She's denying it. She showed up to the premiere with her boyfriend last night. She looked great. She looked beautiful.
She is beautiful.
TMZ continues to report, though, that she is unwell, that her team is trying to supposedly get her some help, mm-hmm. and that she's refusing it.
The help needed, too, especially with her father being in the news again with that Finding Neverland.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a tough time for her, for sure. She's had a tough go of it.
She has.
Yeah. Lainey, we'll see you tonight on E-Talk, CTV, 7 o'clock tonight.
Thank you.
We're a hard-hitting news station. We are asking various questions like, today, have you had an affair with somebody at the office? A lot of you weighed in and said, yes, successful. Some of you have lost your job. And then we had that great survey about who would you hang out with in a desert island? What Sesame Street characters? You only had four to choose from.
Four to choose from were Grover, Cookie Monster, Elmo, and Oscar the Grouch. And
who is kicking my can? You kicked my can and bother me and expect me to play a game with... I don't play games with little furry monsters.
All right, let's dissect this for a second. Like, Oscar the Grouch is way too moody to be on a desert island with. I feel like I'm going to tear that guy apart.
Yeah. However, you said that in the can...
Oh, yeah, the can is a playland. Like, you forgot inside the thing. There's a lot going on inside that can.
You can get some shade in that can.
Yeah. Or maybe use it as a flotation device.
See, we're digging deep with these characters. Like, I like Cookie Monster because I get cookies, and I know.
C is for Cookie. That's good enough for me.
As hungry as he is, you're going to find food on that island if you're just a Cookie Monster run amok. You'll find something.
I'll take his crumbs.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There are a lot of people weighing in and giving this a lot of thought. Sure. You know, a lot of people pointing out that you could potentially steal Oscar the Grouch's can and get rid of him. A lot of people are saying that Grover, because he's good at fishing, because he does his here fishy.
All right.
Wow.
Special! There is no one just like me!
That's a vote for Grover. And then a lot of people, it's like, okay, so Oscar is the irritating option on one end of the negative spectrum, but just as many, if not more people, say they couldn't handle Elmo, that his overly positive vibes and his voice would make them feed themselves to the sharks.
Elmo just finished going to the bathroom.
Oh. Elmo?
Come on.
He'd be updating, not what I want to hear.
He'd be updating you on everything he did.
Right, Elmo. I'm trying to sleep, Elmo. Oh, lights out. No.
Mama just finished going to the bathroom.
I love it.
Do it over there, away from the water supply.
But this is becoming so far-reaching that, like, stars are weighing in.
Yes.
Like, they're going, wait a minute, I'm going to think about this.
Yeah.
You know, like Mindy Kahn, who was in Facts of Life.
Mm. Right.
You remember her? She said, well, Oscar, for sure, we can both be grouchy, but I'll always be in a better mood. See, if you just balance it a little bit, you know?
So, on our text, we have another vote for Oscar. It says, Oscar or Grover. Oscar's garbage can is magical, filled with all kinds of things that people just toss away but are still good. Grover, though, positive, never gives up, and would eventually find a way to get off the island.
But too bad Big Bird's not in this whole thing.
Yeah. Well, someone did say, what about Big Bird? No respect there. But we're like, that's like when you try to play Would You Rather with somebody and they try to introduce the third option. No.
Stick with the rules, right?
I keep thinking about Big Bird. He's huge. He could be a friend or food supply.
Yep. But also,
I mean, we are humans, right? Poultry. So definitely on the menu. Yeah. We'll keep thinking about that. Let us know who on that island makes it out of the Sesame Street Muppets.
Hey, get up. Don't hit snooze anymore. Marilyn Dennis and Jamar. Wake up.
I love this show.
Chum 104.5.